Scripture reading this morning, as you can see on the screen, is from Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 24 through verse 28. Proverbs 30, 24 through 28. There are four things which are small upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is the king's palaces.
Good morning, everybody. It is my job this morning to tell you how to live wisely. Now, don't worry, I'm getting some help. Just in case you don't have any confidence in me, the good news is I've got a great source. So, the book of Proverbs is written to tell us how to live skillfully as far as God is concerned, and how to live wisely as far as God is concerned. It's not just any old wisdom. This is advice straight from God. In other words, the book is telling us this is how God thinks about things, and this is how we should think about things. This is how God goes about his business. This is how he wants us to go about our business. So generally in Proverbs, you can say Solomon said, but this is one chapter where you got to pull out a different name. Agur is the guy responsible for writing these, but that could be a name or it could be a description. The Hebrew word agur simply means gatherer. And Solomon has already referred to himself as a gatherer of Proverbs, as well as the scriptures give him that moniker as well. So he could have gathered this, but the point is it's from somebody, not him. And in this text, the wise man is telling us some wisdom from four small creatures. Now, we can see much about God from the beauty of nature. Now, most of us want a big, glaring example of success. We want to look at some powerful person. We want to look at some powerful movement. We want to look at the big things, especially in our culture. But the wise man says, hold on a minute here. Small things have a great value. In fact, we'll come back to this at the end of the sermon. They are exceedingly wise, we are told in verse 24. And so here, the wise man takes a very different approach, and he wants to tell us that great things come in small packages. And little things can make a big difference. Now, as we go through these, we're just going to follow these verses right in order as they were read for us. So the ants, they're not what you'd consider a mighty group of beings, right? But they're smart. Because during the summer, they prepare for the winter. They lay by and store, is the older way to say that. And this is something that we know God asks us to do. They work hard for when times are tough. The ant knows that it's always time to prepare. We could have plenty today, but if we don't set back, if we don't prepare for the times that we don't have a lot, then we'll be in need. And so the ant is always enjoying today, but also working for tomorrow at the same time. Now, some of us are like the song. We're always waiting for tomorrow, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. That's not what the ant does. The ant says today's the day. And they don't live for the moment either, though. They're not overcaught up in tomorrow. They enjoy today and prepare for tomorrow. They're not one-dimensional. And so, they thrive even now as they get ready for the future. And I think that that's a great example for us as Christians. We need to be a people who are looking for what God wants us to do today, as well as making preparation for where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do on the morrow. We've been talking about that on some Sunday nights as well. So, in Vincennes, if we're going to be wise like ants, we need to be industrious today, and we need to have a view for tomorrow. Not living all in one scope of reference or the other, but both at the same time. God is always working. And he has work prepared for us to do. And he gives us rest as well. We'll talk about that some on Sunday nights coming up. But the important thing about the ant is the ant doesn't do this under their own steam. They were endowed by God, their creator, to accomplish this. And we are also endowed by God, our creator. We might not have much strength, but he does. And he gives us guidance about how to prepare for tomorrow in its most important sense. So we should be thriving today and preparing for tomorrow. Then he goes on to the hyrax. Now you can see a lot of different words here in your translations. Coney, rock badger, dassy, if you've got a few older English translations. These are all referring to the same creature that is common in the part of the world that Solomon and Agur lived in. You can call them a badger, but they're not even related to the badger family. Actually, I was joking with Mary about this the other day, but it's true. Their closest living relative, you'd never guess it if I gave you 1,000 years. Oh, don't tell him. It's the elephant. Genetically, they are closely related to the elephant, which I find absolutely amazing to look at that little thing. It's about the size of a rabbit. That's why they're sometimes called rock rabbits or a dassy. It looks like an overstuffed guinea pig. That's what it looks like. But it's not related to rabbits or guinea pigs or badgers or none of that stuff, other than it's mammalian. This little furry, harmless creature has only one defense. It suns on the rocks, and when the eagle or some other predator comes around, it dives into the crag, into the hole in the rocks where it makes its home. So the simplest way to say this is this hyrax knows where its security is. You can knock down the mountain to get at it, perhaps. I don't know very many creatures that can do that. But that's the only way to get at this creature. And so they've carved out a niche by relying on something that is stronger than them, by relying on the rock. No small thing, according to Scripture. How often does Scripture refer to God as our rock and our salvation? They have enough sense to know their own weakness. And they admit that weakness. I'm not going to be able to defend myself. I've got to rely upon the rock for my defense. Now here's the thing. We could take this all sorts of ways. I don't imagine they sit around and have conferences on, is it because the rock is so wide or is it because the rock is so tall? You know, they don't divide up into separate little groups of hyrax. Well, we're the hyrax that think the rock is so big. No. We're the hyrax that think the rock is so tall. No. They just rely on the rock. They don't argue about the rock. They know that's where they're safe. And in a similar fashion, several folks can know about God. They know that he is powerful. But because they won't admit their own limitation, because they won't admit their own weakness, they don't ever come to the rock for strength. They try to stay out there vulnerable and fight the enemy on his terms. But the hyrax is able to say, no, I'm not going to survive for long leaving myself in a vulnerable position. I've got to stay close to the rock. I'd love to go all the way out there and sun myself in that nice, luscious grass at the bottom of the mountain. But if I do, I'll stand no chance of making it back here. So being aware of God's might only benefits those who are willing to admit their own weaknesses. And our security lies in our relationship with an almighty God. And without that, you have no real security. You can fool yourself. You can manufacture some if you try. But it's not going to help you in the end. And so the hyrax is very wise in this way. But he goes on from there and talks about the locust. The grasshopper is our term for this. I know to us, locusts and grasshoppers are different, but you're living in a part of the world where if it eats up the plant, it's all part of that family. They come in droves. And Agur says, locusts have no king, but they march in formation. A locust or a grasshopper by itself is nothing more than just a splat on the ground, because if you see one of them, you can stomp it. But if you see thousands upon tens of thousands of them, there's nothing you can do but get out of their way. They don't have a drill instructor. They don't have a manual like we do. They don't have a king. Nothing leads them other than their innate God-given ability. We, on the other hand, we have shepherds. We have a manual. We have a drill instructor. We have folks that God has put among us to say, this is what he wants us to do. And we can check it out for ourselves. We have a king. The point is that the locusts rely on unity. That's their wisdom. All by themselves, they're nothing. But in concert, in community, they have a great strength. And that's a thought that's all throughout the Bible. You can have an individual faith, and you should have an individual faith. You have to, on your own, personally trust God. But without the community, you've downgraded your power. And so, while we can own our own faith, we don't live it out absent the family of God. The grasshopper would never say, I trust God, but this whole group thing, it's not for me. It's not the way grasshoppers thrive. They're wise enough to know that God put them together for a reason, just like he has the church. They have to have a community. That's their created purpose. And community is also our created purpose. It's our design. And we would be wise to live out that truth as well. And last of all, the older versions say spider. Real interesting kind of thing here. We know what the word is. We don't know what at all this animal is. The Hebrew language is so ancient in this regard, we don't know what animal they're referring to. Still, we have no absolute knowledge of it. But the more refined understanding now is he's talking about a lizard, not a spider. It doesn't make a difference. The point is the same either way. Okay? A spider or a lizard, you can hold them in your hand, but you'll find them living in kings' palaces. Now, in this day, the day that the wise man is writing, lizards or spiders were not considered pets. Anybody in here got a lizard or a spider for a pet? I'm not going to make fun of you. It's okay. My crazy daughter does, but I'm not making fun of her either. They have snakes. Most of us, we don't want any of that sort of stuff in our house. And the king doesn't want them in his palace either. But guess what? They show up. And you can't keep them out. I remember not all that long ago, I think I shared this once before, Tammy and I were laying in bed, and she came unglued. She's just screaming and thrashing, and there was a lizard in bed with us. Guess what I had to do? I caught that lizard in my hand, which was no small feat for me because I don't move as fast as I used to, and I took him back outside of our home at Goreville. They're not in the palace by invitation. They're in the palace because even though it's guarded, and even though it's the most secure place on the face of the earth, they seize the opportunity as it presents itself. They strike while the iron is hot. You give them a little opening, boy, they got their foot in the door. And that's not meant to be a negative. The wise man is saying there's something about that you should pay attention to. In all four of these cases, there's something about this animal that is wise beyond wise. A thief could never get into the castle. The lizard can. And it does it with relative ease. Now, here's the common thread for all four of these creatures. What's been highlighted is their defenselessness. I grant you that the lizard has speed on its side and kind of an ick factor that people don't want to catch it in their hand. But in and of itself, none of these creatures are powerful. But they've all been made to thrive because of what God gave them inherently. Answer, defenseless. They can try, but if you want to destroy an ant colony, it's a relatively easy thing. Hyraxes are defenseless. They have to rely on the rock. Locusts in and of themselves are defenseless. They have to live in community. And lizards or spiders in and of themselves, they're not mighty creatures either. And sheep are defenseless. And friends, this is what we are. And if we try to pretend otherwise, we're ignoring the wisdom that God is telling us in these four small creatures. We also want to live in our king's palace. Fortunately, in our case, he invites us in. But we should strike while opportunity is there. We should persevere until opportunity presents itself. And it's that perseverance that's being highlighted here. So let's go back up to that initial phrase. There are four small creatures, but they are wise beyond wise. Could be fair to translate, they are professors of wisdom, like instructors. I don't know if you've ever had an ant as an actual teacher, but that's basically what the wise man is saying you should do. Reminds me of Psalm 19. Day after day they pour forth speech. There's not a language anywhere on the earth where their voice is not heard. If that's true for the stars, who appear from our perspective to be small, it's also true for these creatures. The ant, the hyrax, the locust, and the lizard. And yet God has set them in their place and given them something to do. And in that, we would be wise to follow their example. And they are wise beyond wise. They're exceedingly wise. The ant teaches us the wisdom of preparation. The hyrax teaches us the wisdom of protection. The locust teaches us that unity is power. And the lizard teaches us the victory of perseverance. I don't know if Paul had this in mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But in verses 27 and 28, he says this: God has chosen what the world considers weak to shame what the world considers strong. God has chosen what is insignificant to bring to nothing that which has the appearance as being something. God takes care of his creation. I mean, we know about the flowers of the field. We know about the birds of the air. Jesus is using a different creature or a different being to illustrate the same truth. God has cared for them and provided for them. And he has done the same for us. And we would be wise to learn these lessons and to live accordingly. It would be skillful to prepare ahead like the ant, to march in unity as the locust, to rely on the rock as the hyrax, and to strike while the iron is hot, and to persevere until that opportunity comes along, as the lizard does. One last thought. In the body, where would the body be if the whole body were an eye? Where would the body be if the whole body were a hand? No, we have many different parts. Some of us are more like the ant, some of us aren't. Some of us are more like the lizard, some of us aren't. And I don't mean slimy and icky. That's not the reference point here. But God has brought us all together in one body to function as one unit, to march under one king, to follow the manual, to be cheered on by our leadership. He has called us into a community in which each of us, with our separate gifts and talents, can bring about the maturity of the body of Christ together, as we work together, as we live together, as we thrive together. And so, we can bring the emblematic features of these four small creatures together into one body here in Christ. That's wisdom. The rest of the month, we're going to be looking at small things. Today, it's these four small creatures that have a strength all their own. Don't fail to see what God is asking you this morning, what He's telling you this morning. Prepare for tomorrow. Trust in the rock. Live as a community and persevere. If you do that, you will have a skillful and wise life. You will be wise beyond wise. One last thing, you know I'm a fan of quotes. I was taught as a little boy, there's nothing more powerful than a good quote from a fine person. I don't know what you think about John Wooden personally. I kind of respect him. Little things make big things happen. That's the quote that's up on your slide. And you may think to yourself that you're only contributing a very little bit. That's what each ant thinks too. That's what the coney thinks. That's what the locust thinks. And that's what the lizard thinks. I'm only a small little bit player. Yes, now you've figured it out. That's all you're supposed to be. And being little and letting God use you in His way is big deal. And it's good news. So regardless of how you see yourself this morning, submit to God's mighty hand. And in due course, He will raise you up. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.